Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house, and I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love, anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher, like in a whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet, not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well. I don't know why you'd return anything because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, all I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, your feet will thank you. Well, go, baby, go. Everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Exit Adventure. I am Matt.
I am Dory.
We are cruising into episode, what is, 39 now?
So 39, I think, yeah.
39. I think we'd remember turning 40, right?
Yeah.
We're very close to a third bonus episode. We're at 950 iTunes reviews. So that means only 50 of you, 50, have to step up and just write a 5-star iTunes review.
Yeah. You don't even have to write the review.
Yeah, you can just leave a 5-star review. So if you don't even want to write something, just leave a 5-star review, and we're going to be fully appreciative and get a full episode. Full bonus episode is going to come to you guys. That includes Canada, UK, and Australia. So if you guys want to write one and let us know about it, we'd appreciate it. Only 50 more people to go.
Yep, do it.
Dory says, thanks for leaving Amazon reviews.
Thank you, everyone, for leaving Amazon reviews. I really appreciate it.
Anything else you want to say about reviews?
If you want to like the good reviews, that's always helpful as well.
That's true. And also, please, go to Goodreads.
And leave a nice review.
We'd like to carpet bomb Goodreads with good reviews, assuming you liked the book.
Yeah, if you didn't like the book.
If you didn't like the book, stay away from Goodreads.
Just keep it to yourself. Don't do anything like restart your Goodreads account just to leave a 1-star review for my book.
Like that one person.
Yeah.
Who did that.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool of them.
Yeah.
I mean, really, to hate something that much is very impressive.
I know. Like, there is a part of me that's like, well, she really felt very strongly about it.
But Startup is great. It's getting rave reviews all over the place. New York Times loved it.
That's true.
Dory's husband, Matt, loved it.
Yeah, he did. Much to his surprise.
Had no idea she had that much talent in her little fingers, guys.
Aww.
But she did. She typed it all out and put it in a book form, and now it's available as an ebook in the UK, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand,
And you can pre-order the hardcover in the UK, and it's available at the end of August.
Yeah, I assume it will also be available in Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, but it doesn't show up on Amazon, so I'm trying to get to the bottom of that.
Is the hardcover the American hardcover?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting, UK. Way to come around on being the UK. Please order the book. Have a read. Have a good read. And then sign up and tell Goodreads how much you liked it. Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/excellentadventure. That's where you can go.
It is really hopping in there.
Popping.
Yeah. You know what's awesome about it? I mean, I know I say this like every episode.
You do.
But
I'm going to guess.
Now that we have like over 2,200 people in the group.
Uh-huh.
And literally within like 5 minutes of someone posting something, someone responds.
Right.
It's amazing.
It's a source. I mean, you don't have to wait a week for a response like you do when you hear an email on the podcast.
I know. It's like we're almost making ourselves obsolete.
Let's do it.
Also, there are people in the Facebook group who don't listen to the podcast.
Oh. Listen, if that works for them, that works for them.
Like, there's one woman who was like, I think her husband listens to the podcast. Maybe her husband listens to one of your podcasts. I don't know. Uh-huh. Somehow her husband was involved and she was like, I don't listen to podcasts, but I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
That's cool.
Welcome. Yeah. We welcome everyone. You can go to our website, excellentadventure.com. You can do all sorts of things there, up to and including donating. And we'd appreciate that, as tomorrow we're paying $19,000.
17.
Plus the $2,000 procedure.
No, that includes the $2,000 procedure.
Guys, we just got a $2,000 discount in my mind. So, you know what? Don't donate. Email us, DoryandMatt@gmail.com and MattandDory@gmail.com. And the phone number, of course, is 413-461-BABY. We have an update. Oh, wait. We have an update on us.
Yeah.
What's our update?
We wanted to skip so quickly to the emails.
I was just, head down, power through here.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, I just really want everyone to get their excellent fix.
All the eggheads.
All the eggheads. All the super donors who have gotten their signed copies of
Startup a Novel
for being awesome and supporting us on Patreon.
Yeah.
Those people are excellent.
Yeah, they're excellent eggheads.
Excellent eggheads.
Yeah.
So
tomorrow I go in for a hysteroscopy.
Yes.
They're going to put a camera up my vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And just see what's happening in there. I imagine it will be very uncomfortable.
I am very sad because I will not be attending.
I know.
Your hysteroscopy.
I'm sad too.
I will be at work because it is our table reads for episodes 1 and 2 of the 5th season of The Goldbergs.
I know.
Any other table read, I would be like, gotta go.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
I know.
It's going to be what we're doing all week till God knows when.
I know. It's just it's just the way the world works. Bo is very antsy tonight.
He's, bopping around.
I know.
Like a little big bopper.
Yeah.
So tomorrow cameras are going up there. We're checking out Dory's endometrial lair, and we're going to see when is the optimal time for peak stress in our lives, aka, yeah.
I've been putting progesterone up there twice a day.
Her diva cup runneth over.
No, I didn't even really. I didn't need a diva cup. In fact, until I started the ones today, which are the biggest dose, the highest dose,
mm-hmm.
200 milligrams. They start you at 25 milligrams twice a day.
Yeah,
and then you do 50. Then you do 100. Are you listening to Bo wander around?
Yeah, he's really pitter patter.
I know. He wants to go outside.
Oh.
Oh, there he goes.
Oh, he figured it out.
Matt got these like $29.
I got these, the magnetic bug screen.
Magnetic bug screen.
Which I saw on an infomercial.
Over our French doors that didn't have screens and bugs were like, we had so many flies.
These are not really French doors. They measure 29 by, I think, no,
those
it's
are
30.
French
they're
doors.
36 inches wide and some odd inches long. But they're barely French doors. They're like, they half open.
They're Florida They're panes of glass, and they're double doors.
Yeah, but they're only the width of like a regular door.
So
I think of French doors as massive doors.
No, well, those are French doors.
That's what I think of them.
Anyway, we taught Bo how to go through the screen, but he's still like a little hesitant about it.
Because it opens up, because it's connected with magnets.
Yeah.
And then Bo sometimes is afraid of going through. Sometimes he'll just go through.
Sometimes he tries to go through the side,
which is Velcroed to the frame.
Which is not the way we want him to go through. Right. Anyway, so tomorrow I'm doing this thing. We already did the first biopsy. I don't even know what the results of that were, because they're in New Haven. Mm-hmm. Maybe she'll tell me tomorrow. I don't know. And then she says we're going to do a transfer in August.
That's the plan, everybody.
Yeah.
$17,010 later.
Yep.
$10 for the valet parking.
I feel like by the end, we're going to be spending like at least $100 on valet parking, if not more.
Oh, by the time we've gone to all of our appointments?
Yeah.
Ugh, that's so gross.
I know. I'm going to try to find street parking.
Please donate to the podcast at excellentadventure.com.
Although, here's my worry about finding street parking tomorrow. They want me to be there at 9:15.
You have to be there at 9:15?
Yes.
Jeez, Louise.
And I just know that they're not going to be on time.
Boy, I feel awful about missing this appointment.
Well, it is what it is. There's no point in you feeling awful because you can't make it. And
I just have so many things that I'm going to need time for.
Mm-hmm.
As we get closer to the actual retrieval.
Transfer.
That's right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is we're doing.
Yeah, we're not doing another retrieval, honey. I'm not ready to get to the emails.
Are you still talking?
Yeah, I am still talking.
About what? Parking? How much parking we're spending money on? This seems like too much. I think we're going to be fine.
Hello.
What?
You just disconnected our microphones.
No, the headphones. They didn't hear any of that.
Oh. I don't know. You got very depressed when I told you that they had called with our bill.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we had discussed the bill previously.
I know, but I thought it was like 12. I thought that was our bill.
I think it was 14.
Well, there's just something, once it jumps past the $15,000 mark,
yeah,
that really makes it apply pressure to my chest.
Yeah.
In a way that, you know, I don't care for. I don't know if you're familiar with what it's like out in Los Angeles, California, but I do 9,000 things and still don't make enough money. And we have to pay so much for this dummy round.
I know. And you know what I was thinking today? I was like, I feel like all it's going to tell us is like, your lining's fine.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
There is almost no chance that it's going to tell us anything else.
Right. It might be like, well, it was this thick on this day, so we're going to do it this day.
It's like, that's the day we would have done it anyway.
Well, I can't even imagine. It was very depressing. I went into a bit of a spiral on Friday at work.
He did.
Because she texted me that information while I was at work, and I did not handle it well.
I came home very sad.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You haven't been in a great mood all weekend.
I have not been in a great mood all weekend. And I think part of that is because of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. I'm sad that I'm going to be missing the appointment. I'm sad that the bill is due.
Yeah.
I'm sad that it's going to cost so much. I'm sad that we have no money. I'm sad that it's, our credit score is going to go down as we drop this on it. Anyway, these are all, I'm sure, relatable things that some people have gone through.
Yeah.
Others of you who listen to the podcast might have some insurance that's a bit better. Others of you might be paying even more. And yeah, maybe there's a few independently wealthy listeners out there who don't have this worry. But let me tell you, it does add a layer of stress to the whole thing that probably isn't great for either bodies.
You know what I talked about with my therapist this week?
No.
The fact that my parents have not even offered like a token of money. Like, I know they can't afford to pay for anything because they don't have that money.
Right.
But I feel like even like a, we want to help you, here's $100 for your meds or something.
Yeah.
Like just a gesture. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they haven't done that, I realize, has really upset me.
Well, you know, maybe they're just waiting. They're waiting for you to actually be pregnant, and then they'll think it's real. Because right now, you're meaningless to them.
What do they think I'm doing?
I don't know. It's a very complicated situation with all of this. It's very, I don't know. I wish we could have a natural child, but guess what? We can't, so we have to deal with all this shit that everyone else is dealing with.
Yeah.
That's listening. Except for the weirdos who aren't trying to have a baby and listen to the podcast. Those people.
Like the 16-year-olds.
Guys, enjoy your time.
Yeah.
Enjoy that you are not going through this. And
boys, keep your balls cool.
Boys, keep your balls cool. And just, you know, just really hang in there, everybody. It's going to be okay, probably.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like, I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house. And I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love. Anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher. Like in a, whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet. Not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well. I don't know why you'd return anything because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, All I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, you'll feel thank you.
Anyway, I suppose we should get to the email now that I've been sufficiently depressed.
Okay.
Unless you want to talk about more stuff.
Well, I just feel like we finally have stuff to talk about.
We do. It's hard. I don't know. There's stuff. I don't know. What are we going to talk about? How much can I go into, really?
As much as you want. It's our podcast.
I know, but it's just like... I just work so much, and I'm still behind the eight ball and everything. Well, and it's as a result not of... not of frivolous spending, not of like, I don't know, a drug problem. It's not of these things. Well, I do have a drug problem. It's just progesterone is the drug. That's the problem.
The progesterone is not that expensive.
It was a joke.
Oh. I see.
But it's hard. You know, we got married. We had a pretty good size wedding.
That we paid for.
It took us a little while to pay for that. We paid for that. As soon as we finished paying for that and we were debt-free and a happy married couple, we realized that my sperm is dumb and Dory's eggs are old. So then we just started having to pay for that. And, you know, it's not like I'm getting these influx of cash from anything. So here we are. Turns out the book business is not as lucrative as some might have thought.
I tried to tell you that.
Listen, I know it's not. You know, we'll buckle down for a couple months and I'll just work till I die. And we'll be ahead of things here.
That sounds so depressing.
It is. Well, I'm just thinking about the fact that, like, the next, you know, some odd months of my life are going to be devoted to 7 days a week of work. And it's weighing on me quite a bit, you know. I have three podcasts I have to do every weekend. I have a live show that I have to tape Monday nights, and I am working full time on the Goldbergs, and it's a lot. Sometimes at the Goldbergs we're not getting out of work till 10 o'clock at night, and you know, I don't see my wife. I leave at 9 o'clock in the morning, I get home at 10, and then you think, oh, I have the weekends to her. Well, guess what, I have to go record a James Bonding podcast or a Star Trek podcast or this one. So, you know, and there's a chance that it could get even busier for me coming up. And it's very, you want to throw into that the fact that we are going to have a transfer, which is an extra layer of stress.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a very stressful time. Very stressed. I'd like to just do one job, go home, see Spider-Man, call it a week. But, you know, that's not what we're doing.
I know.
Anything else you'd like to talk about?
No.
Okay.
I think I'm okay.
Good.
I just felt like we needed to talk that through.
I've talked it through with you. Why did we need to talk it through again?
You don't have to get an attitude.
Well, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how much people want to hear that. Hear about our stress.
I think they want to hear about
it. Well, guys, we're just like you. We're also stressed out.
Yeah.
And that is the life of Dory and Matt at gmail.com or mattanddory@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you're also stressed, call us at 413-461-BABY. And show discussion. I mean, do the people who don't like us talking about our lives up front?
That was just our lives, our non-IVF lives.
Oh, okay. So welcome to the show, everybody who's been listening. Time for email. We have an update. from Chris. Parenthetical, low testosterone. Hey, Matt and Dory, this is an update to my last email. After taking the Clomid for 5 months, I went back in for a check on my numbers. While my testosterone numbers went up significantly, they were on the high end of normal, my sperm count topped out at 4 million. We then made the decision that we would try artificial insemination one time as my wife still worried about being a, quote, old mom. We then started talking to an OBGYN about that specializes in artificial insemination, and were told that the local medical group has stopped performing the sperm wash, and we were referred to specialists an hour away. Both of these would require a multiple-month wait, so we've officially stopped trying.
Oh, boy.
This has sent me into a bit of a funk. Welcome to Funk Town, Chris. But I am slowly coming out of it. Good to hear. I do get to count myself lucky that I have a daughter who just happened to have been born before I met her. That I
get. Oh, before he met his wife.
Also, I assume before he met his daughter.
Well, yes.
She was also born before she.
Well, no. She met him. He met her when she was born.
No. From what I am presuming from this is that he is the father, but the stepfather.
No.
No?
He's the father. His wife is the stepmother.
Oh, I'm so confused by the words of her pronoun usage, Chris. I'm sorry if I confused myself. I ran myself into a bit of a confusion circle. I'm going to get off at this exit.
Circle of confusion.
Again, thank you for the podcast. I look forward to listening to your journey and see where this all takes you both. Cheers from Chris. Well, Chris, thank you. I am very confused by this. I'm just going to read to you three words I see in the future, and one of them is lavender. So
okay.
I assume that this is something for Dory to read.
This is from Kendra, mm-hmm. and she says, "Hi, Dory and Matt. I wanted to quickly write in regarding Beth's email in episode 39 about hair loss. Remember that email?
I do remember that email. If anyone has experienced it, please write in, and here we are.
Here we are. Hair loss. I lost so much hair between meds and my first science pregnancy that I now look like a mad scientist going bald. Huh. Some growing back and not. Some not. I turned to one of my friends who's big into oils. So she has had bald spots and has started using essential oils in her shampoo and has seen visible results. I've gotten the oils and have added them to my shampoo and conditioner. So far, my hair is soft, but no regrowth yet. But I've only washed my hair 3 times with it.
Oh.
God only knows with a 16-month-old, I don't get to wash it as much as I would like.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if it is something she might be interested in, but here are the ingredients and amounts. 1 drop per each ounce of shampoo of lavender, cedarwood, and rosemary.
Mm.
Thanks so much, and keep up the awesome podcast. Oh, and totally thought of you guys as I had a lobster roll from Kelly's Roast Beef last week.
Nice.
Cheers, Kendra.
Oh, I love a Kelly's roast beef. Saugus, honey.
I remember.
Maybe she went to the Medford one.
Okay. Essential oils. Worth a shot.
I think that I'm going to start doing this because I have hair loss, but not from medication. Just from being an old man.
You could use Rogaine.
Not around pregnant women or women hoping to be pregnant.
Not even around them?
I don't think so.
I thought they just couldn't use it.
I don't know. But then if you use Rogaine, you have to keep using it.
Right.
Which I forget everything I have to do all the time. This is from Morgan. My husband and I are going through IVF because of severe male factor infertility. His first sperm count was less than 100. The urologist put my husband on Clomid and anastrozole. Again, I'm probably mispronouncing that.
Mm.
And his count came up to 3 million. Wow. The urologist also recommended that my husband have surgery to repair a varicocele, which is also another thing I have. But my RE said it was unlikely to bring up the count that significantly. He's correct. Sometimes only 100%. What are you going to do with 6 million sperm? Same thing. We would probably still need IVF, so we decided to skip the surgery.
Same.
Ditto. After 2 rounds of IVF and having a total of 35 eggs retrieved.
Damn, girl.
We now have 3 PGS normal embryos.
Oh.
Same.
Yeah. Well, we had.
Right. But
yeah. Interesting.
This all seems very familiar.
Yes.
Like, I feel like 35 was about our number.
Yeah, actually, if you add in all of the eggs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what she's doing.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And we were told that the low blastocyst rate is likely because of poor sperm quality. We were not told that until Dr. Beck.
Right.
which I feel like no one ever told us before.
Oh, my God. Morgan.
Morgan, we are. Is this me from the past? In any case, we were kind of wishing that he had the surgery. Oh, that's not going to. I don't know. And we are wondering if he should potentially still have it done to help the future children. I think you have spoken briefly about varicoceles before, but I would love to hear if you or other listeners who have had success with varicocele surgery, particularly if there were any improvement between cycles of IVF. Speaking of urologists, I can't help but laugh every time you talk about Bo and other dogs with balls at the park. Don't remember how I came across this, but there's actually... a company that makes prosthetic testicles for dogs that have been neutered. I can't imagine who would pay for such a thing, but according to their website, there is over 500,000 caring pet owners who have purchased these for their dogs. So the next time you're at the dog park, you think the dog has balls, just remember, it might be nudicles.
Nudicles.
I don't know if that's a thing that our enemy shepherd has.
I think he has real testicles.
I think he has real testicles.
Yeah.
But he could have nudicles. Morgan. We are simpatico.
Yeah. It's
very similar situations. We have not had the varicocele fixed on my balls. But again, I only have 1 million.
Mm.
This guy has 3 million. So maybe to go from 3 to 6 million.
That would be an improvement.
Might be better than going from 1 million to 2 million.
Mm.
And that's up to 100%. You know what I mean? Mm. It's not guaranteed that you're going to get 100% more sperm.
Yeah, I would be really curious to hear from people who had the surgery and they saw a real uptick.
I mean, what you might want to try is keeping his balls cool for a round.
Yeah.
You know, if we do it again, there'd be some things going on downstairs for me, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Like keeping my balls cool.
You also took those supplements.
I did take supplements for this last round.
Yeah.
Which...
we had the same results.
Same results. So...
We did... I think we had one more make it to blast, but then only one was normal.
Yeah. We had a lot of... We had a lot of fertilize.
Yeah.
But yeah, we only have one. So we have currently two PGS normal embryos right now. So there's a lot riding on this August adventure that you're all going to be privy to. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
What a time to subscribe.
To Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure.
If you know anyone else going through similar things, tell them to subscribe. So if anyone out there has had the varicocele surgery, I'd like to know about your results.
Yeah. It'd
be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the infectious diseases doctor. Just listen to episode 36 and am responding to the sperm signal that you sent out on behalf of the writer who traveled to India pre-IVF and was worried about Zika exposure. I'm the infectious disease doctor who wrote in earlier. My heart goes out to that listener. It's stressful to go through IVF and navigating so many unknowns. I can only imagine that her Zika concerns make it that much harder. It's hard for me to comment too much on her individual situation. I would definitely encourage her to seek out the opinion of an infectious disease or tropical medicine specialist in her area so her entire history can be reviewed in detail and some kind of estimation of the risk of Zika can be ascertained. The doctor could also talk to her more about whether testing for Zika might be useful at this point or not, and about whether her fetal monitoring / screening would be indicated when she gets pregnant, when she does get pregnant. India reported 3 cases of Zika infection in May, which is why the World Health Organization was changed. World Health classification, sorry. Mm. It is thought that Zika transmission has been occurring at low levels in India, but hard to know for sure because there have not been very active surveillance or reporting of Zika activity there until recently.
Hmm.
So find your local infectious disease tropicaldiseasedoctor.
Just sounds like modern medicine was not equipped for this.
Modern medicine is not equipped for anything that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Literally anything.
It's a little scary.
What are you doing, honey?
I'm getting a voicemail.
Oh.
Yep.
Your voicemail has been gotten.
Hi, Dory and Matt. This is Penley. I've emailed you guys before. I'm the girl who is doing Japanese or what's called mini IVF. I'm on my fifth IVF cycle, and I'm actually right now waiting on PGS results, which is just the waiting, as you guys say, is totally bananas. It's ridiculous. But anyway, I'm calling about two things. One, you guys had an emailer on there regarding PGS results and if she could get pregnant based on the fact that she had tried with an FET and it didn't work. And she just didn't know if down the road she could still get pregnant with the remaining PGS embryos. And based on all my research, we're actually banking our embryos because we're getting married next year. Based on all my research, yes, she can. And all the Instagram girls, my big group on Instagram, they have all gotten pregnant even though their first PGS embryo didn't work. And that the reason is that they've done the receptivity test, much like you, Dory. By the way, good luck on that, and I'm so hoping for you guys to do an awesome FET. But they also did Lovenox, and they did baby aspirin, and there's some other medication you can take to help with any blood clotting issues or cervix issues. So I'd encourage her to talk to her doctor about that. The second thing is you guys talked about how there are no good dog parks in L.A., and I
True.
Have to disagree.
What?
I live in Venice, and there are some awesome dog parks.
You live in Venice. That's
one
not
of
L.A.
is in Playa Vista. It's shaded, it's beautiful, it's clean, and best of all the dogs are fixed. And another one is in Venice called Joslyn Dog Park, another great one where all the dogs are really nice and shaded and clean. Anyway, so I just wanted to drop a line and talk to you guys and let you know you're doing an awesome job. Thank you so much for all the work you do. And I'm a Bostonian. I also met my fiancé on Tinder. So go Red Sox. We're number one in the AL East right now. So that's awesome.
Still are.
And yeah, you guys are awesome. Thanks for all that you do. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Listen, a lot of knowledge drop there. Mm-hmm. But this Venice and Playa Vista situation... I love Bo dearly, more than almost anything. But I can't, in good conscience, drive him every day.
No.
To Venice.
Or Playa Vista.
Or Playa Vista.
No, that's just insane.
It is. Maybe on like a weekend and I got up at 7.
Mm.
You know, I could do it, but sorry, buddy.
You know what we could do? We could get a sidecar for the bikes, and we could bike to Playa Vista on the Bologna Creek Trail.
So scared of everything that we passed.
Well, first of all, he hates bikes.
Yeah, and he'd be, you know, sealing up a 70-pound dog in one of those is not really what they're built for.
You're right. It's probably not practical.
But I will certainly, you know, I'm happy to go try those dog parks. You know, I occasionally have a weekend day where I get up very early. I could take him.
I wish there was a closer dog beach.
Closer than Long Beach.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're far from the beach as it is, relative to places like Venice.
No, but I'm saying on a weekend, I've thought, you know, because like I have taken him to the dog beach a few times, mm-hmm. but like it's usually an hour each way.
Yeah. It's a big commitment.
And if there was a dog beach in Playa Vista or Playa Del Rey or wherever that is, mm-hmm. I would take him there on a weekend.
Is there a Playa Del Rey?
Yes.
Where is that? San Diego?
It's next to Marina Del Rey.
Oh. Wow. So you can look, you can Playa Vista or you can Playa Del Rey.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of playas for you.
Yep.
It is...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
More email.
Okay. This is from Katrina. And she says, Matt and Dory, I had to write in after hearing the voicemail played on the last episode, critical of Matt's recent advice to the letter writer contemplating contacting his half-siblings who are likely unaware of his existence. I thought Matt's advice to try and find out about the half-siblings' family situation before reaching out was very insightful. Conversely, I found the caller's argument that withholding this news would only be protecting, quote, a philanderer to be disheartening and somewhat naive. Finding out I had a half-sister 12 years ago was incredibly destabilizing for me, but devastating for my mother. She was unaware my father had had a child who was put up for adoption before they met. He and several of his family members had kept this from my mother since they met. And since my father had been dead for several years before my half-sister came into our lives, there was no opportunity for closure for anyone. All this to affirm that family dynamics can be messy. It's also possible that such news could hit at a particularly bad time. It's hard to know what other people are going through at any given time. All the more reason to be cautious when approaching new half-siblings. My half-sister could definitely have handled her revelation more delicately had she done more research, but finding out about her was never going to be good news. I'm genuinely surprised to be on the same page as Matt on this one. We typically only ever agree about Frasier. Love the podcast. All the best, Katrina.
Maybe I'm more thoughtful than you thought, Katrina.
I mean,
maybe I'm always coming at it from 17 steps ahead.
Oh,
that's just that's the kind of thing you'll get from Matt Myra, is thinking far, far down the road.
Should we hear another voicemail?
Towards crippling debt, thanks to the $17,000 bill. Oh, what's up, honey?
Should we listen to another voicemail?
Sure.
Hi, Matt and Dory. This is Ruthie calling from Boston.
What up?
Your fave. Anyway, I'm calling because I'm in my third cycle of IVF now, with many losses. We've had early miscarriage. We lost twins at 23 weeks.
Oh, brutal.
I lost a PGD, PGS normal embryo about 3 months ago. And now we are going to cycle again and try to make some normal embryos. There's many other things. I also suffered an AVM. I don't know if you know what that is. It's sort of like an aneurysm that burst in my uterus and almost died. Yada, yada, yada.
Jesus.
Anyway, I'm going through it. I'm sort of just feeling defeated. My husband has basically said that if we have to adopt, he does not want children, which is super heartbreaking for me. And I was pretty shocked. I guess it's just not a conversation you have before you get married, maybe?
Adopt, I don't know.
People do. We didn't. So now, after all this loss and heartbreak and going through it, I just am wondering, you know, if you think if there's any possibility he might come around and change his mind if we get to that point. I don't know. It feels like a lot of pressure. So that's it. Just wanted your thoughts on the matter. Wishing you guys good luck with this next cycle. I know it's brutal. Anyway, hope to hear from you on the podcast. Keep up the awesome work. Bye.
Ruthie, you've been through a lot, and I appreciate your call. And you sound... Just imagine if you weren't in Massachusetts, what that would be costing you.
That is so true.
But here's my whole thought on this adopting situation. He might think he doesn't want to adopt a baby, but I'm telling you, if you could adopt some sort of dog...
Named Bo.
Well, it doesn't have to be specifically Bo.
No.
I think if you can adopt a dog with your husband, he'll realize that he can love something that he adopted just as much as he would love something that he had. Like, if I gave birth to Bo, I'd probably love him the same.
Whoa. It'd
be very strange.
That would be really weird.
Yes, but yeah, no, the heart does soften.
Even yours?
Yeah, well, yes. Dangerously so. Probably need surgery. Yeah, that's what I think. That I think is a good way of approaching this adoption issue.
I don't hate that.
I hope Katrina agrees with me. She only agrees with me on Frasier.
Usually.
Yeah.
Things might have changed.
Who knows?
Yeah.
She might realize that I'm very insightful. Yes, Ruthie, that's my advice to you. I do think he can change, and I think his opinion can change, and I think that one way to do it is that. This is from Anonymous. I love listening to the podcast. I'm an aspiring genetic counselor and want to specialize in PGD. So it's great hearing the perspectives of you two and your other infertility listeners. A lesbian couple recently wrote in about the desire, desiring a girl over a boy, which was similar to your desire to have a girl first. Here's my thought on that. Getting pregnant the first time after infertility is often harder than the second time.
I read this several times, and I think, contradicts herself.
Well, I'm going to keep reading and find out.
Okay.
First of all, this first statement makes sense to me, that once you get pregnant, it becomes easier to get pregnant.
Right. Is that what she said, though?
Yes.
Okay. Because I thought she said the opposite.
No.
Okay. All right.
Did I read it wrong?
I don't know. Maybe. Or maybe I just missed it.
Getting pregnant the first time after infertility is often harder than the second time.
Oh, I heard getting pregnant the first time after infertility. And in my mind, after infertility was the first time getting pregnant.
I see.
Okay.
Since you have more male embryos, it might be wiser to try with them first. If you do get pregnant, even if it's a miscarriage, you'll be more likely to get pregnant soon after. I don't know any official numbers, but I believe the theory around it says that once your body has been pregnant, it learned and your hormones reset, making it more fertile. I think this is worth considering for all couples who find themselves with a plethora of one sex, but we're hoping for the other.
Well, we don't have a plethora of male embryos.
No, we don't. They do. The lesbian couple that wrote in 2-3 weeks ago.
Oh, I thought you... this email really confused me. Because she addressed
it. Seemed very clear.
She addressed it to us, but she was actually addressing it to the couple.
A lesbian couple who recently wrote
in... I know, but she said a plethora... Never mind. Whatever.
Having a girl first. This all made perfect sense to me, anonymous listener. And
great.
I believe to some of our listeners, it also made perfect sense.
Okay.
However, some other listeners could have also been confused.
Okay. Thank you.
But you and I are on the same page, anonymous. Maybe Katrina is too. This is from Alan. He had emailed us about jerking off with his dog in the back seat. He then sent
a classic Excellent Adventure email.
Maybe the best written email we've ever received.
Well, last week's email from Jolene.
Yes, Jolene's was very good.
It was very good. There were several people in the Facebook group who were like, Jolene, are you here? We loved your email.
Jolene, where are you at?
I don't think she's in the Facebook group.
Jolene, get out of the Facebook group. They love you over there. 4 fertilized eggs, and they were putting them all in. He had been worried about flying to a wedding in August, and then we got this email. Hey, Matt and Dory, just in case you do read my last email on the show and are all happy and excited and full of hope for us, we got the results today. Negative.
I'm sorry.
We're both crushed and heartbroken. Not only a huge amount of money down the drain. Tell me about it. This was the one thing that was supposed to work. And of course, there's always a chance it wouldn't, but we got our hopes up. Got a blood test this morning and finally got a negative result from the doctor this afternoon. I have to wait 2 more weeks to hear anything more. So at least we don't have to stress out about flying while pregnant. So there's that. But our clinic and doctor have been very squirrely about the what if it doesn't work question. No one's said anything. No one said what the next thing that happens is if IVF doesn't work and things like cost. Well, that may have been covered by the clinic initially. How long we have to wait, reasons why it didn't work, etc. It's just a real bummer. I've heard people on the podcast talk about how they have had to do multiple retrievers and transfers, but I always assumed it would work for us in one go. That is an assumption many have made, only to be
very wrong.
Very wrong, including us. So yeah, there we go. Any advice is appreciated, but I assume just like everyone, it's a bit of a who the hell knows case. I may drink heavily in it tonight. Alan, don't drink too heavily. We've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all gone through this fun hell that is IVF, and we've all come out on the other side. Some of us pregnant, some of us not pregnant. We're still in it. We thought it would work the first time.
Yeah.
I was convinced it was, and I'm usually right.
Hey, you were not right about this.
I was not right about it. But I was right about our doctor.
Okay.
Hi, it's Matt. God, it's always right about everything.
Except when he's wrong.
Except when I'm wrong. But yeah, these things, you know, it sucks. Costs a lot of money. You have to really want it. And you go through hell, and at the end, you're hopefully rewarded. And if you're not rewarded, it feels like shit. But yep. I bet you and your wife are closer.
Yeah. Do you think we're closer?
Sure.
Why are you making that face, Matt?
I was hiding behind email. I don't know what you meant.
So you don't think we're closer?
No, of course we are. I mean, we actually talk to each other about things other than me being tired and depressed.
That's true.
Just kidding. We still talk about that.
Sometimes he even lets me be tired and depressed.
I always let you do that. If you want to do it, you can do it. Do you have any advice for Alan?
I would say just talk to your doctor as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And ask him or her what the next steps are.
And I would also say that something to remember is that it's not always going to happen the way you want it to happen.
Yeah.
And that's as hard a thing as anything to cope with.
Yeah.
The fact that you wanted something to happen so badly and it didn't happen is, I think, sometimes harder to cope with than the thing actually not happening. So if you can sort of get that part of your brain out, the fact that it's not always going to happen the way you want to happen, you can then allow yourself to deal with the real issue, which is, what do you do next?
Yeah.
That's some more advice from Matt. Thanks for tuning in, folks. This email comes from Julia. She has a couple of questions. Guess what? I probably have two answers. One. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Wondering for parents, when you use donor egg or sperm, if you choose not to tell your children, how do you handle medical histories? Interesting. I would imagine this would be a concern, but am I missing something?
I feel like you have to tell them.
You have to tell them what?
That they were conceived with donor eggs or donor sperm.
You could also just make up a medical history for them.
Yeah.
That's... You could be like, well, your father has had these heart problems.
That seems...
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But then dad's like, I really didn't have these heart problems. We're talking about the guy.
I mean, I don't think you have to tell them like from the second they're born, but I think at some point you have to tell them. I mean, we've talked about this a bunch.
Yeah, we have. We have. Julia, we've addressed some of this, but to answer your question... I think on this podcast, we've come to the conclusion that you tell them and you try to let them understand things from as early as age as possible.
Yeah. As possible.
As a possible. As early age as a possible. So that's my answer to number one. Number two, I was recently diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and I have always been on the fence about having kids, but curious for any other listeners who have been diagnosed with other long-term illnesses that involve long-term medication that you cannot be pregnant while on. Do you have to go off your meds to become pregnant? How was the experience? Do you have any advice on how to go about on the process? Now, Julia, this is one I do not have an answer
for. This is a very interesting question.
But this is certainly something we can put out the sperm signal for.
Yep.
So listeners out there, have you had long-term illnesses? Have you been diagnosed with them? Have you had medication that you shouldn't become pregnant on? Have you stopped to get pregnant? Did it work?
All of these questions.
Julia, you have more than a couple of questions, but we hopefully have more than a couple of answers. For your listener who asked about songs to add to her IVF playlist, for a while I used Queen by Janelle Monáe. And it got me excited for a job I was not excited about. What's Janelle Monáe up to?
She's very
presence.
Talented.
She's such a presence.
I thought she came out with an album like last year.
Well, I mean, I better check it out.
Yeah.
But she's really like one of these like Bruno Mars types.
She's
like,
very talented.
Yeah. It's weird that I'm now saying Bruno Mars types.
Yeah, it is.
But that little motherfucker is very talented.
He's extremely talented.
He's like the Carly Rae Jepsen of his generation.
He's more successful than Carly Rae.
I know. That was the joke.
Poor Carly.
Did we get through all the emails?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought we had a stack of emails to get through over on this side, but it's I'm realizing it's just your movie.
Yeah, it's my outline.
Boy, oh boy. Do we have anything else to say? This is a very short podcast.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Hmm.
Okay, well, tomorrow at 10 a.m. is Dory's appointment. She has to be there at 9:15 a.m. She's probably going to leave the house at 8:30?
8:30.
To get to there, and I'm probably going to leave the house. I want to get to work early because it's table read day.
Mm.
So I'm going to have to leave very early to drive to Culver City. Boy, oh boy, what's Bo doing tomorrow?
Mary Jane's coming.
Mary Jane's coming, so we have to get him walked in the morning.
Yep.
And ready for her.
Yep.
Boy, Bo, you're in for a big day tomorrow. I hope I see him when he's awake.
Oh.
Sometimes I come home and he's sleeping on the couch waiting for me.
I know. When Matt comes home late and I go to bed,
yeah,
he doesn't come into the bedroom with me. He waits for Matt.
He does. And
it's
then
so
he,
sad.
That's not sad. It's cute. He's out here waiting. And then, you know, once I'm out here, he looks at me, he licks my face. And then
he comes into the bedroom with
me.
Do
what I need to do out here. I'll go to the bathroom, wash up, get ready for bed. And then I turn this light off out here in the dining room, and then I say, "Time for bed, buddy." And I turn when I turn off the lights in the bathroom in the kitchen. That's when he knows that it's time to get up and wander to bed.
Aww.
And he does, and then he goes to bed. Sometimes he buries his head in the carpet and makes noises.
It's so cute when he does that.
He does. Yeah, he does a lot of head scratching on the carpet here.
We think it's allergies.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't even know that we'd had some sort of hypothesis as to what it was.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
I don't think they're really bad because he's not like sneezing and, but I think his face is itchy sometimes because of allergies. I'm sure that carpet is not great.
They tried to get rid of it.
I know.
They said no. I think if they knew we would be in this house for 5 years, they probably would have gotten rid of it.
4 years.
Is it only four?
Mm.
Feels like longer.
It does.
Yeah. That's our Bo update of the week. Everybody, I hope you're downloading and listening to Star Trek The Next Conversation. Myself and Andy Secunda on the Matt Meyer Podcast Network. That doesn't really exist. But if it did exist, it would have Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure and Star Trek The Next Conversation on it. We recorded a new episode this week about the documentary that William Shatner made about the making of Star Trek The Next Generation, which I got to tell you, for two TV writers to watch the bullshit that went on there, it's insane, up to and including Gene Roddenberry's lawyer sneaking into writers' offices and changing scripts.
I caught some of that as I was eating breakfast this morning, and I was like, did they just say the lawyer?
Yeah. So
and then the WGA got involved
and banned him from the lot.
And he
somehow snuck back in, started changing more scripts. So that explains why the first season of Star Trek isn't great, and the second season's a mess because of the writer's strike. But Andy and I go very much into depth on that, so it's an interesting story to have a listen to. Star Trek The Next Conversation, you can download that. James Bonding is coming back at the beginning of August, so if you've missed Matt Gourley and myself, I don't know how you've missed either of us. He has four podcasts. I also have four podcasts. But maybe you've missed us talking about James Bond, so we recorded yesterday.
Or maybe they missed you guys together.
We do have a lot of chemistry that I really can't explain.
It's very special.
It is really something. So
James, he's like the nicest person.
Oh, he's the best. Matt Gourley's the best. Yeah, so August, coming to Earwolf, James Bonding. And otherwise, watch the Goldbergs on Wednesday nights. I don't know what they're airing during the summer.
Mm.
But, yeah. God, I can't believe we have a table read tomorrow. We're back in it.
You're back in it.
Back.
It's all happening.
To life, back to reality.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for those of you who are Patreon supporters and enjoyed the vamping that we just did to stretch out the time of the podcast to make it a full hour for you, you can go to patreon.com/eggslandadventure We have a number of reward tiers, including some Patreon-only bonus episodes where you'll hear about appointments before anyone else does, and sometimes in more detail. We released our first Patreon-only mini episode 2 weeks ago. It was about a half hour long. It was a hoot. It was fun, and it's there. You can also still support us the traditional way via PayPal and Venmo by going to excellent.com/...
Excellentadventure.com.
Oh, it says excellent.
Oh, it does?
Yes. Yeah. Excellentadventure.com/donate. And believe me, we could use it because we have a giant bill that I'm very worried about. Anyway, so this week, the names were done by Ms. Dori Shafrir.
Yep.
The Mrs. Matthew Myra, if you will.
I don't, but...
Why don't you?
Because I wanted to keep my name.
I mean, it's proper... It's proper, though, to be like Mr. and Mrs. Matthew proper? Myra.
According to who?
Probably someone who would answer columns in the 30s.
Uh-huh.
Like Miss Manners would probably say that.
It's 2017.
It's almost the 2030s.
Okay. Anyway, Matt...
If something came addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Matthew Myra, it would then just be for me?
No, things have come addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Matthew Myra.
But I should just take whatever's in it from me.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, God. Anyway, yes, I did the names tonight.
Listen, people call me Mr. Shafrir all the time when we check into hotels.
Because I asked Matt to make dinner, and I came home, and he was making dinner, and then he was like, I haven't had time to do the names. Why don't you do the names? And I was like, okay, I'll do the names.
And then I looked at her as she struggled, and I said, harder than you thought, huh? And she didn't say anything, just gave me an exasperated look. But these are the names for July 9th, 2017. These are our excellent eggheads. These are, yes, our donors. These are the people we care about more than everyone else.
And I did predictions.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Dori has made some predictions.
Yep.
I have not heard these. Here we go. Tanya Davidova.
After adopting a potbellied pig, Tanya will quit her job to start a potbellied pig sanctuary in Montana.
What's it going to be called?
Potbellied pig sanctuary.
All right. I mean, I feel like it should be called, I don't know.
You know what?
Here's what you should say. That she has a potbelly pig sanctuary, and it's on Blanket Street, and she calls the sanctuary Pigs in a Blanket.
Are you giving me notes on my fun facts?
Here's Sherry Olson. What do you got for Sherry?
At age 50, Sherry decides to train for the Senior Olympics. Her sport is luge.
Ah, interesting. Sherry, look out. Wear a helmet, please. It's very dangerous. Ross Mandan.
Ross was a child Sudoku prodigy, but he won't play as an adult until he has a dream where he's visited by a Sudoku wizard who tells him he must start playing again for the good of humanity.
I don't hate that. Ryan Solo.
Ryan and his partner will buy a rundown mansion that they renovate themselves and turn into their town's most popular haunted house.
Oh. Renovating a rundown. Keep it run down. Ryan, save yourself some work. It's going to be haunted. Kate Howley.
Kay can recite pi to the 657th decimal point. Mm-hmm. She will finally break through to 658 and beyond after getting hypnotized.
Interesting. Elena Cathalis.
Elena will open an art gallery that specializes in paintings of manatees. She will eventually sell a painting to Kim Kardashian for $1 million.
Whoa. Get on that, Elena. Andrew Steinle.
Steinle,
I'm sorry, Andrew.
After donating so much money to Matt and Dory's excellent adventure, Matt and Dory named their firstborn child Andrew Steinle.
Oh, wow. Jonathan Cederland.
After a career selling insurance, Jonathan will decide to become a sushi chef in his retirement and open the most exclusive sushi restaurant in the entire world.
What's it called?
You're like fixated on what things are called.
I just feel like there should be puns in all of these.
Oh my God, you guys.
What if we called it, what if it was this, the restaurant was called Cederland, but it was spelled S-E-A-derland. Cederland.
I get it.
Chef Cederland.
It's pretty good.
Thank you. Alexandra Bond.
Alexandra will take up falconry and start a school to teach the next generation of falconers.
This next generation, might they be millennials? Could this be the Millennial Falcon School?
Yes.
All right.
Are you happy? You satisfied?
Got a pun in the end there. I feel really good about
it. Okay. I feel like I did pretty well.
Honey, you did a fantastic job. Such a fantastic job that you might be doing this more often. Patreon.com/eggslandadventure if you want us to talk about you on the podcast in a way that makes some sense to somebody and no sense to anyone else.
You can donate as little as $1 a month.
$1 a month.
Free fact.
You can donate a bunch more dollars a month and get an autographed book by Dory. You can get a free podcast every month coming in. I know you already get four, but guess what? There'd be a fifth one in your box all the time.
You get a picture of us every month.
You get a picture of us. You get a blog post here and there. You just get so much action from Patreon.com, or you can donate the regular way if you'd like to donate $10 a month to pay for valet parking. I'm sure there's something we could give you. That does it for this week. We'll be back next week with more exciting Eggsland adventures. In reality, we're recording... I would like a lot of emails coming in this week because we have to record one for while we're on vacation just so we don't miss a week with you guys. So if you've been thinking about writing an email and you're like, I don't really know if I want to do it, do it. It'll help us out.
Yeah. Now is the time.
Now is the time. So tune in next week to find out what happens in Dora's vagina.
Ew. That was disgusting.
Well, I mean, that's what the camera's going.
Yeah, but they don't say that as they put it in.
Let's see what's going on in your vagina, Dory.
What voice is that?
I'm Dr. Beck.
That's not how she talks.
Dr. Beck couldn't be here today.
Why do you have lockjaw?
I don't have lockjaw. Just look at vaginas. Please come in. There he is. Get him. We got to go. How's your vagina? Wee. Out the window. He jumped.
My vagina went out the window?
No, the guy who was snuck into the clinic and pretended to be your vaginoscopy guy.
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
Oh, God.
Don't you know these guys?
No.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Let's get a silver bullet trailer and have a baby bye. I'll safety pin this clothes all clean.